So, Adam, how many Cardassians does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know, Bill. Tell me.
Well, that depends. How many lights do you see?
How many?
There are four lights!
Shut up, Wesley.
Right, I'm Adam Mullen.
And I'm Bill Allen.
This is the Final Frontier, a Treksphere podcast.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi. This is our first episode.
First of many, unless we really keep messing up these intros.
Yeah,
We've got our timing down. We've got our timing down. But this is the final frontier. Our mission to explore strange new fan films, to seek out new fans and new fanfic creations, to boldly go where neither of us have gone before.
so we're planning on generally talking about fan productions, including fan films, podcasts, other such things. And in this episode, in our introduction episode, we'll be talking about fan films and the guidelines. In future episodes, we'll tell you about news, question of the week. Hopefully, we'll get some guest hosts to interview, then just have good discussions about Star Trek.
Yeah, that's the plan. But first, so now that you know what we're going to be talking about, I suppose you ought to know a little bit about who we are. So take it away, boss man. Who are you?
I'm a total nerd geek for Star Trek and really any kind of science fiction. I spend my day teaching special education, and then I go home and I teach music. I write music, and occasionally I get to perform my music on my tuba. And when I'm not doing that, I watch Star Trek. And that's my life in a nutshell.
Awesome. Do you have any projects in the works that are at a point you'd want to discuss them?
Yeah, I've got a couple. Well, I've got Project Defiant that I'm working on with Vance Major, and I've got at least one main film in the works. Meanwhile, we've been working on smaller short films that kind of are giving kind of little tidbits here and there of our main story. And when we finally get through all of it, it'll be a pretty cool epic story, and it will have lots of Easter eggs and nods to the original series and other stuff as well. So that's my first big project. My second is a call to unity. It's a audio drama, and that is currently in the works right now. Just about to begin production on episode one, and hopefully that'll come out soon. That'll be lots of fun. That takes place right after the destruction of Romulus, as seen in the film Star Trek from 2009. It does not take place in the Kelvin universe. It takes place in the Prime timeline, and it follows the USS Unity on her maiden voyage to Rator 3. And for you nerds out there, that is the same planet that we see in the animated series. And it will have to do with the fallout from the destruction of Romulus. And there'll be some Klingons in there as well. There'll be some hints of of Deep Space Nine. I've got nods to basically anything you could think of from Star Trek. And I've got a cast of wonderful voice actors and actresses working on it right now.
Excellent. You know, one of these days, that means you're going to be the special guest on the show, right?
Yeah, I'll have to go back and forth between being the host, the guest host, asking myself questions.
I want to make that a video episode where we give you two microphones. First, you ask the question, then you run to the other microphone and answer the question, and we're going to just do the. But that's going to be, it's definitely interesting. It's, I've heard a lot of the, well, the Doctor Who has official audio dramas, but I haven't heard a lot of audio dramas for Star Trek yet. So I'm looking forward to getting into that side of things and hearing what you do when it comes out.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be good.
All right. So I guess it's my turn now.
It is.
All right. I was actually born a nerd. I didn't have a moment of awakening. I was born on the anniversary of the War of the Worlds radio podcast. Not podcast. Mm-hmm. The radio drama. It was 1938. They didn't have podcasts back then. I was born on the anniversary of Orson Welles' radio adaptation of War of the Worlds. So I've been tied to science fiction and horror my entire life, just consuming everything. Definitely a big time Trekkie because it was always on in my house. I'm second generation Trekkie, you might say. I love Star Trek. I never followed fan films. I would find them when wandering the internet aimlessly, and I really enjoyed what I saw. And I've recently started paying more attention to fan films and actually looking for this kind of stuff because I've only seen a couple of episodes of continues, a couple of episodes of Phase 2. But when I go actually digging for what I want to see, there's a lot of great stuff in there. And I'm loving all the shorts that Vance Major was putting out. And I guess some of those were yours too.
Some of those I wrote the music for. I might have writing credits on a couple, but they're basically his. I mean, if it has to do with Project Defiant, I definitely had input on it. So that it all kind of matches what I'm leading up to. But it's really, that's really his stuff.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's, this is what we're going to be doing. It's going to be fun for me because somebody's going to say, hey, check out this fan film. And it'll give me a specific target to go to because there's a lot out there. There's a lot more out there than I realize. And it's easy to get lost or not find what you're looking for. So now this will help me focus my hobby of watching fan films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to being told, hey, you should check this out. And I'll be like, oh, okay, I'll watch it. And then we can come back and discuss it. And it'll be a lot of fun.
And we're going to get to talk to famous people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's our hope, right?
Yeah, that's our hope.
Yeah. 10 years ago or so, I never thought I would be involved in, you know, fan productions, much less, you know, like talking about them in a podcast. Look where I am. You know, I'm approaching 30, and Star Trek has consumed my life more than ever. And you know, that's okay.
If you're gonna have something that takes up most of your life, Star Trek's a good way to go.
Yeah, there could be worse things, right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. What's your history with science fiction?
Well, like I say, I was born to it. When I was a kid growing up, because my birthday falls on October 30th, it was often sometimes better to buy a Halloween themed cake than a birthday themed cake. So I would be just as likely to have a UFO shaped birthday cake or a zombie head shaped birthday cake than I would to have a regular happy birthday cake. Mm-hmm. So it's just always been a part of my life. I remember as a kid, I was in Houston. And it was Channel 39. This was before there were multiple networks. You had three networks and a handful of independent UHF stations. 39 was a UHF station. And on Saturdays, I'd watch a couple of cartoons, but then I'd flip over and watch 39. And they would start with a Godzilla movie, and then they'd have some old sci-fi movie that was just bad. Then they'd have an episode of Star Trek, and then they'd have a couple of Kung Fu movies. And that was what I watched on Saturdays, while other people were watching cartoons like a normal kid. I've read a pretty broad spectrum of authors and stories, and it gets really annoying because no story ever ends. And of all the sci-fi out there, the only one I don't... It's not that I want these things to end, it's just come on, guys. I've already bought 18 books. When is Honor Harrington just going to rule the galaxy and get on with it, you know? The only one that doesn't annoy me when I have to go out and get more stuff for it is Star Trek. So that's kind of my, it's like, I don't like, oh man, another series. Isn't this story over yet? No. Mm-hmm. And fan films show that there's just so much more to the story to tell that it's worth getting into again and again. Mm-hmm. I married a brown coat. She says she's a Trekkie and she loves Star Trek too, but my wife, definitely, if she had her preference, her favorite pilot would be Wash, not Sulu. So,
wow. But you know, hey, Firefly, it's great. I enjoy it. I recently bought the that new Blu-ray box set. But I've been trying to get my girlfriend to watch it with me. She's never seen it. And I'm lucky that she'll watch Star Trek with me. But yesterday I was saying, okay, I bought this. I spent money on it and we're going to watch this, at least watch one episode, because I think she would really enjoy it. And it's, you know, it definitely there needs to be more Firefly in life.
There does. There really does. But now it's kind of crazy to go around and watch other things. It seems like Alan Tudyk is to sci-fi what Sean Bean is to everything else. If he's in a mm-hmm. sci-fi production, they're going to kill Alan Tudyk off, and it just drives me nuts. It's like,
that's what I was about to say. Like, they're both going to die, right?
Yeah. Sean Bean, if he's in a movie, he's going to die. If Alan Tudyk is in a sci-fi movie, he's going to die. And my wife even told me, it's like, even the non-sci-fi, he dies. It's like, Alan Tudyk was one of the voices in Frozen. And she says, oh, he didn't live in that movie. His ship, when he sailed home, he played the ambassador from some other nation that was visiting Elsa.
See, I haven't seen Frozen. I'm one of those rare people that has yet to see it.
It's a cute little movie. I mean, it's standard Disney fare, but you know, mm-hmm. it's the kind of thing where you watch it for the story, but mostly for the nods and the in jokes and the silly things like that, and the guest appearances. You want to try to figure out who's that voice? Who's that voice? And Alan Tudyk is the ambassador. Sleazeball ambassador from some other nation visiting the nation where Elsa is the princess, and he lives through the whole movie. He's only got like 3 minutes entirely. He's there in the beginning, there's a scene in the middle, and he's there at the end, and then he gets on his boat and leaves.
See, you were piquing my interest to see this movie, but now that I know that he's barely in it, now I don't really care to watch it.
No, his 3 minutes make it worth watching, I'm telling you.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, another film that he lives through is Dodgeball.
He was in that, wasn't he? Wow.
Yeah, he's the pirate.
It's just, I think of that movie and I think of What's-His-Face who had the lead.
And Ben Stiller? Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, thank you. Yeah. I keep forgetting his name. The first movie I saw him in was the remake of Psycho, and my God, he was so awful in that.
I think my earliest memory of him is in Jurassic Park. What is that? Is that the third one?
No, he was part two. He was part two.
It was part two?
It was him and Ian Malcolm going back to the island. He was the head commando, wasn't he?
Oh. He might have been. I'm going to look it up right now. Vince Vaughn, Jurassic Park. Let's see. I'm curious. Oh, yeah. The Lost World.
Yeah, he was the one making the snarky remarks about the wild goose chases. But this is the only place where the geese chase you.
And his character lives. I was actually kind of surprised by that.
You can never tell these days who's going to live and who's going to die. It's like Star Trek, you know, they, I think they were one of the first mainstream sci-fi ones to do that when they killed Yar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back in the, I remember TOS. Oh, look at me. I'm getting us back on topic. The original series, the red shirt. I mean, we make jokes about it today, but, you didn't have a lot of, people dying on TV, but here's a show where, I mean, that's how they show you how risky and dangerous it is, you know? It's, I mean, heck, even on the Twilight Zone, every now and then there was an episode where somebody died, but usually that's because they were spending the episode talking with death first. You didn't have a lot of murders to amp up the tension to lead it off. But the original series, here they are on the president, or here they are on the planet, square-jawed heroes. Oh no, one of them just got killed. Will the other heroes survive? This is risky. And it was a great gimmick, and it worked, and it worked so well it became a cliche. And but then you got to the Next Generation, and you still had the occasional guy who would get killed. He was some nameless schmuck, and let's face it, I think at one point all of us who were fans thought, I want to go to Hollywood. I want to be the guy in the red shirt. I mean, yeah, I'd love to be famous, but come on, let me have one line and die. That's all.
It was 5 seconds of fame.
And then they went and killed Tasha Yar. And you're thinking, wow, that's crazy, man. So after that, it started to get interesting. It's like, well, what's going to happen next? Who's going to live? Who's going to die?
So we should talk about why we're talking about fan films.
Yes.
Why? Well, we haven't been talking about fan films yet. We were talking about Vince Vaughn.
Yes. Well, we'll have to look and see if he was ever in a Star Trek fan film when he was like 10 years old with his home movies. That's very possible. He's got the look. He probably is a Trekkie.
So why are we talking about fan films, Bill?
I blame James Hams for that. So this is, as we said, it's Treksphere. This is The Final Frontier, which is a Treksphere production. James Hams is, I have no idea what got him interested in fan films, but in the last year or so, he's been taking the pulse of the community, looking at things, getting into things, interviewing people, painting a bigger picture. And he says, you know, that picture should include a podcast. And he called us up, and here we are. So he's a part of it. But the other part of it is, this is a very interesting time for fan films, mostly because of the guidelines. Yeah, I use the G word.
Uh-oh.
Last year, was it last year or has it been a year and a half already? Sometime last, or was it this year?
I think it was last year.
Last year, like around August, September-ish, I think. CBS decided they were going to issue guidelines. It's like this is kind of what you should do when making a fan film and what you should not do when making a fan film. And a lot of it was fairly reasonable, standard, sensible stuff that most fan films were doing anyway. It's don't make money off of this. This is you're not getting paid to make fan films. It's not a job. It's a passion. So you can do it, but you're doing it to have fun, not to make yourself a millionaire. So don't make money off of stuff unless you've bought a license from CBS to do so. And we're not going to license independent guys. And if you want to be left alone, we recommend doing these things. And a lot of the rules are, you know, sensible like that. It's don't use bootlegged uniforms. Don't go to some knockoff website and buy made in Taiwan sweatshop Star Trek uniforms that are unlicensed knockoffs that you'd get from that guy on the street corner. They got to be either handmade or official Star Trek props. Don't do anything that's overly violent or otherwise casting Star Trek in a negative light. You know, don't have Captain Kirk be a psycho serial killer. That's not right. You know, uphold a certain moral fiber or something like that. And some of them actually were surprising and interesting, and have caused some contention among fans as to what it means. Keep them short is one now. It's like, what is it? The limit is 20 minutes, 15 minutes.
15 minutes, and well, you can do two parts, totaling 30.
Right. And I mean, there have been a lot of really good fan films before that were two-hour movies. There was mm-hmm. Of Gods and Men. There was Renegades. And there were the continuing series. Phase Two, New Voyages, continues. Mm-hmm. And they were all, 45 minutes an episode, and they had a dozen episodes. And so that threw a lot of people for a loop, and a lot of people says, it's terrible. You can't make a movie in 15 minutes and have it be good. But the thing about Star Trek is Federation types tend to find ways to do, we can't do this. Well, it turns out we actually can because we're clever and we find ways to MacGyver our way through things. And it turns out the fans are the same way. So before the guidelines, there were some shorter ones. After the guidelines, there still are some short films coming out that are absolutely fantastic.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. it just shows that you can do really good stuff, and it's only 15 minutes long, which, I don't know. I don't know yet if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. It'll help reach a broader audience, because when somebody's randomly browsing the internet, they're not going to watch a two-hour video on YouTube. But a 10-minute video? Yeah, I could do a 10-minute video. Mm-hmm. So it might get you a few more hits. It just gives you a chance to play around and do different things. So I think we're entering an interesting period, kind of a golden age, or silver age. We're not golden yet, because that's going to happen when they say, hey, you guys have done awesome. We're going to go ahead and kick that limit up to 30 minutes instead of 15 minutes, and now you can have an hour-long thing. And they may or may not either just stop doing the time limit on the guidelines or just tweak it a little bit. Or it might just be that they decide that, he went 16 minutes, we'll let that slide. He went 18 minutes, we'll let that slide. And it'll eventually go back to... But it'll be like, you don't need to have a two-hour production. You don't need to have elaborate things. You just need to tell a good story and have fun with it.
And I think that's totally possible within 15 minutes. Reading on the internet, people's complaints or, their opinions on the guidelines. I've read, if you can't make a good film in 15 minutes, why are you doing it? And 15 minutes, there's a lot you can do with it. My audio drama that I mentioned before, that script was for a feature-length film that I wrote in 2014. Originally, the script was over 200 pages, and then I cut it down to 90, I think. I kept cutting it down, as I went. But I was really set on, okay, I want to make a feature-length film. And then, the fan film guidelines came out, and I was like, I can't do that now, which, is fine. It's not like it was probably ever going to happen anyway. But within the last year, I was like, I can still do that, but I can just make an audio drama. I also thought about turning it into 2-15 minute episodes, but I felt like that was kind of destroy what I had in mind originally. And I was like, I either want to do what I originally did, but that would go against the guidelines, or just not do it. And then talking to James Hams, he's like, what about an audio production? And I was like, that's actually, it's a good idea. I've never done one before, but so we'll see how this goes. But as for the fan film guidelines, I think, it's probably a good thing to have these in place, so we know what's okay, what's not, so we don't overstep. But I think we can totally still make great Trek within these guidelines. And like you've said, that is happening.
Absolutely. Now I have a question for you. You said the original script you wrote was 200 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Now, am I right when I say that generally it's like one page equals 1 minute?
Yeah.
So you were basically going to have a 3.5 hour fan film.
That's when I first wrote it, and I was like, this is crazy.
I don't know, man. And part of me kind
who
of
want to watch that.
Part of me kind of wants to see that. I mean, I think it would be pretty neat to see the Dune of fan films,
Mm-hmm.
I think I would be the guy that would sit there and watch a 3 hour movie. But no, yeah, I get wanting to cut it down and all that. So, but I mean, well, now that you're doing the audio drama, any chance you're going to go back to 200 minutes and try to use all of it again? 10 minutes at a time and.
It's possible. I've added in a whole new subplot with Klingons, so it will definitely beef it up. But I wanted to try to do shorter episodes, like what, you know, each episode is not 45 minutes. It's gonna be much shorter, so that way they're kind of bite-sized, but each episode flows into the next because it is based on that film script. So it's not like a separate story. So in a way, it's kind of like Discovery, but I didn't do that because of Discovery. I did it because that was how it was originally intended to be. It was intended to be a feature-length film, so I'm still trying to do that, just in a different way.
I'm hoping it'll take off. It does sound interesting. And I really want to ask a bunch of questions about it, but it's like, nope, we got to save that for the episode when you're the special guest. We can't waste all the questions now, man. You got to save some for later, you know. Always leave them wanting more. So I think we've covered the high points of the guidelines ish. I do know. I think he's still working his way through them all. I don't think he's finished all of them yet. If you go to the Trexphere website, James Hams has been writing some blogs, breaking down the guidelines one at a time and going over the finer points of what it all means, including some quotes from Mr. Van Sitters from CBS.
Maybe he can come on and tell us himself.
I think so. Yes, that would be awesome. Someday we will talk to the man himself. He's the guru over there at CBS, kind of the mastermind behind the guidelines and spearheading involvement with the fans.
So, do you want to talk about low points?
Low points in
The guidelines.
the guidelines. Yeah, well, like I said, I do think putting a limit on how many, I mean, I like the challenge of 15 minutes, but there are some things that I would love to see more of. I want to see, and it's like I already mentioned, it's like of the recent new stuff I've been seeing, like Vance Major stuff is, I mean, he's been doing a lot of little shorts that are all related to each other vaguely without actually being sequels or continuations or part of an ongoing serialized thing. And I think it would be very interesting to see his take on a 2 hour something or other. I would like to have seen that, and now I won't for a while until either the guidelines change or they just forget about the guidelines. So yeah, the time limit, it hurts those of us who just love soaking this stuff up because we don't get to see as much as we would have otherwise. Another low point is there's one in there that says you can't use Trek actors in your production. And I mean, some of my favorites have nice cameos or even just starring roles from some big names. One of my personal favorites was Of Gods and Men. And we got to see the sort of a continuation slash resolution or another look at Captain Harriman from Generations, the captain of the Enterprise B. So that was, it was neat, and they actually got the actor back. That one also had who else was in that? They had Nichelle Nichols, they had
They had Tim Russ.
Tim Russ. They had Garrett Wang. Did they have Garrett Wang?
Yes, I believe so.
I mean,
It's been a while since I've seen it.
he's done a couple, and I think that was one of them. But that's just it. I mean, because sometimes actors who act in Star Trek are not Star Trek fans. But there's this weird kind of insidious thing where, you know, eventually you become a fan. You enjoy doing it so much. You enjoy seeing what other people do so much that you want to do more. You want to keep doing it. And these actors do fan films because it's not like I want to make lots of money still playing Star Trek. It's I want to play Star Trek, you know. And they do so. They have fun with it. It's like what was it? Patrick Stewart gave an interview years ago where he said something along those lines. He says a fan came up to him and said, "Well, you're a Trekkie," and Patrick Stewart says, "No, I'm not. I'm just a guy playing in Star Trek." He says, "Trekkies are awesome people, you know, but it's not me." And I think he probably is, after he did the show for 7 years and several movies, he's probably is a Trekkie by now, and I'm sure he checks out new stuff when it comes along. But it was an interesting look at it. He says, "Well, you know, I'm not." This was an early interview he did. He was a stage actor. He was top tier Shakespearean talent. You know, I'm not a Trekkie. I'm not a doing a fan thing. I am an actor. And I think since then he's probably become a Trekkie. And it's true for a lot of them. Very few people who've worked on the show, I mean, very few. Some people now you're getting them who are Trekkies. I think about half the cast of Discovery is a Trekkie, or was a Trekkie before they got the job. I'm not sure about the rest of them. I know CBS did a promo spot a while back where they said they had just about everybody in the cast. "Oh yes, this was my favorite Star Trek episode. This I am a Trekkie," and these guys did really well. But I'm watching it and I'm listening to how they describe their favorite episode and who says picks what episode, and I'm like, okay, that dude's actually a Trekkie. She's a Trekkie. He's a Trekkie. He's a Trekkie. They might be a Trekkie, but I'm not sure.
One of them cited one of the reboot movies as I think their favorite or something. And you know, whatever your opinion may be of those new films, you know, it's still something to enjoy, and it's cool that they still enjoyed it, even if it's not necessarily the original. But they still, you know, they knew something, you know, prior to acting their role in Discovery.
And that, yeah, absolutely. And that is a good thing about the new movies. I mean, I know it sounds like a cliche, but it did introduce Star Trek to a whole bunch of new fans.
I think that's the good thing about the new films. Again, you know, whatever, you know, our listeners or us, whatever, however we feel about the new films, that it did introduce new people to Star Trek. And I think a lot of those people became curious, like, okay, so, you know, how did this begin? What's the other stuff like? And you know, I think a lot of them now have become, you know, Trekkies, Trekkers, who enjoy, you know, other parts of Star Trek. And that's great.
Yeah, I remember soon after Into Darkness came out, girl I was working with came up to me and says, "You're a Trekkie, right? What's the deal with Khan? I didn't get it." And I said, "Well, he was a big character in some of the older stuff. He was a recurring villain, and they reused him." I says, "If you want to get more of Khan's backstory," I mean, she loved the movie. She thought it was great. She's a big Benedict Cumberbatch fan. But I says, "If you want more of the backstory, go on the internet or Netflix or whatever you use and find the original series episode Space Seed, and then watch the old movie Wrath of Khan." And she did. And she had seen, I mean, the new movie made it where it was recognizable. She knew who Kirk was, she knew who Spock was, she got the gist of it. And she didn't mind I warned her. I says it was made in the 60s. It's gonna look kind of campy, but she watched it and she liked it. And then she watched Wrath of Khan, and then I didn't tell her to, but she went and watched Search for Spock because she says I wanted to see what happened because they, you know, how is he old and in the new movie when they kill him off in part two? It's like, so she watched part three, and then she's like, "Well, wait, now what happened to the ship?" So she watched part four. She actually did, I think that was a big plan back in the day, and it worked today. She watched two extra movies, and then she got into watching The Next Generation on her own because she says, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, the original series was, she watched all the movies, She didn't watch any of the original series except for that one or two episodes here and there, but she says she got into Next Generation after that, and she liked that a little bit better.
And that's the hope, right?
That's the hope. Now, as far as fan films go, I've seen a few that were TNG era.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like most of them are TOS era.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I've guessed. I guess as we do this show, once we get some interviewees, we'll be able to ask them. It's like, why'd you go for this? Because part of me is thinking it's like for a lot of people, they've been Trekkies for decades, and that's just their favorite. But I'm also mm-hmm. wondering if part of it is because technology changes and looks change over time. And you go back to what they did in the 1960s, and it was cutting edge then, but with modern technology, that 1960s stuff is fairly easy for a guy to put together in his garage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need a big console with flashing lights on it. You can buy parts at a hardware store and build it. You don't need computer graphics. You don't need touch screens. You don't need all these fancy infographic displays in the background. You just need buttons and lights and some cardboard, and you've got yourself a Star Trek set.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if part of the reason why you see more original series fan films is it's easier for fans who are working with whatever they have in their pockets to put together something that looks like Star Trek.
It could very well be something like that. You know, it could also maybe be nostalgia. You know, that's what a lot of people grew up with, and they want to reconnect with that. They want to contribute to that world, that storytelling world. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But yeah, there is certainly a lot of TOS fan films out there. But again, I think it's just, you know, that's what we want to do. I love TNG like the best, and I would love to do TNG fan films. But yeah, again, it goes back to that, you know, what do we have? What can we do on the cheap?
Okay, so I'm looking at our little timer here, and I know we want to keep these things relatively manageable. The two of us could sit here for 3 hours and talk, but you know, I don't,
like we almost did last night.
Yeah. And that was just a equipment test and a planning meeting, and it lasted for 2.5 hours. But I know you wanted to try introducing a trivia question to each episode.
Yeah, and I totally forgot to do that earlier. I'm not going to go back and edit that, because that would be
well,
that'd be silly.
We can do it now since it's just us. We'll do it now. We'll at least have it in there. Next time it'll be at the beginning of the show so that it'll percolate.
Anyone listening, if you have a better trivia question, please share it. Let us know. So are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. So I thought I was so clever, and the name of this trivia question is Star Trek's other not-so-famous feline. And I even put an exclamation point after that. All right. So what is the name of Reg Barkley's cat? Is it A, Spot, B, Aichaya, C, Neelix, or D, Tuvok?
Ah, I know this one. It is C, Neelix.
You are correct, sir. So I have my what's it called? Reference or where I can show, you know, where I got the answer from, and that's from Voyager season six episode 10 Pathfinder. And Neelix the cat eats Deanna's chocolate ice cream, which is kind of funny, but I thought chocolate was bad for cats and dogs.
Well, it's replicated chocolate, so I'm sure it's you know, phosphate free, fat free, synthesized, synthetic.
Isn't it like the sugar or something is what's bad for
it,
them?
It's not the sugar. It's something weird with the, I mean, sugar's not good for anybody. You avoid sugary and salty treats, yes, because, you know, general health thing, but sugar's not toxic to dogs. It's just, it's something with the, it's like, it's the cocoa, I think. It's something in the chocolate that's toxic.
Okay, so I have a follow-up question.
Okay.
What was the cat's breed? Maybe that's a really awful thing to ask.
Felis catus was its taxonomic nomenclature.
That's the wrong cat, though. So the answer is Silver Persian. At least that's what Memory Alpha says, and that's where I get my facts from. And people are going to be like, well, that's a wiki. But I think they do a really good job of managing that site. And I know I use it for when I write my fan stuff. I'm all over Memory Alpha, sometimes Memory Beta, because I love reading the books and the games, and sometimes I'll add in Easter eggs from that. But I'll stand by my choice of using Memory Alpha. Oh, so going back to like feeding animal stuff. So what about when like Captain Archer feeds Parthos cheese? Is that good?
Cheese is good for a dog. Too much cheese will bind them up.
Isn't that like a part of an episode where like Parthos, like, you know, kind of has some gas, and like T'Pol's like, my nose is sensitive.
Yeah, dogs, it's crazy. They'll eat anything, whether it's good for them or not. And they sort of process it, but they have issues. You know, there's a handful of things you want to avoid. I can never remember if it's garlic or onion that is really bad for them. So I don't give them either one. I think it's onion, might be the garlic, but I avoid giving them things that have garlic or onion on them because, yeah, one of those really bad toxicity. Dogs are odd animals. There are things that would kill us that they take with no problem. And there are things that we eat regularly, and if you give them even a touch, it'll mess them up permanently. I don't have any Star Trek named animals, but all of my animals come close. So everybody's like, oh, that's named after Avery Brooks. Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. No. Yeah. My other dog is named Kayla, and I was talking to somebody and I said, Kayla's up to something. And they thought I said Kayless. So I had people convinced my dog was named Kayless. And I was like, that is a cool name for a dog, but that's,
yeah, not that's what I'm, awesome. Yeah. Well, do we want to wrap it up soon, or do you want to keep talking?
Well, the other thing I was going to do from time to time was rapid fire questions.
Yeah.
Just to kind of gauge what you like, what you don't like. So this is sort of a no prep, no thought kind of thing. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and you tell me who you prefer. Okay.
Okay.
What's your favorite series?
TNG.
All right. Kirk or Picard?
Picard.
All right. Wesley or Ichib?
Oh, man. That's not rapid fire. How about Wesley?
Shut up, Wesley.
All right. What's your favorite episode?
The Inner Light.
And what's the worst episode?
Masks.
Annoying kid character, Ichib or Wesley? You had to think about it. You really had to think about it.
Yeah.
Shut up, Wesley.
I never really saw Ichib as annoying, though. I thought he was cool. My favorite moment is when he's doing his report on like early Federation history. He's talking about like Kirk. I thought that was cool. That was a really cool like Easter egg that they did.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's something about it's like the entire Borg Children Brigade that bugged it bugged me. I was sitting there thinking, it's like, this is Battlestar Galactica and the Space Scouts all over again, you know? So.
Oh, so that reminds me. I have a friend named James Strecker. Hi, James. His cat, I thought he was going to name it Neelix, but he named it Seelix, which is a character from Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
Right?
I think, yeah.
Yeah. See, he gave me his old DVDs of that whole series, and that was like 3 years ago, and I have yet to watch it. I know, like, I love sci-fi, but I've only seen a little bit of Battlestar Galactica. I feel really bad for admitting that. But, you know, hey, at least I like Star Wars. I'm sorry. Oops. Oh, man. I'm going to have to edit that out.
No.
Star Trek. I love Star Trek. Star Wars was always my first love. So I'm sorry that came out.
Yeah, that's why I love Star Wars. I mean, oh, God, this is Star Trek.
And it totally was not on purpose. It was not on purpose.
What have I done?
So something to mention is that this podcast, we're planning on doing it every other week, and it will come out on Wednesdays.
And that's just, I mean, right now, that's the plan. You never know. James may decide to change our time slot or something. So it may end up being Tuesdays or Thursdays or something else. But that's the general plan.
We're at the mercy. We're at the mercy of James. Hi, James.
Hi, boss. I just want you to know I took this very seriously. And any mistakes are totally not my fault.
I just realized I mentioned, you know, two different people by the name of James. I know a lot of Jameses. Jameses. What's the plural of James?
Jims.
I know a lot of Jims. You know, like Jim Kirk. So, you know, that's probably the most famous one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, is there anything else we want to talk about?
Yeah, it's UPS guy. What can Brown do for you? Set the dogs off.
Dog barkings.
Next week, we'll be dropping more hints about people we'd really love to interview for the show. Please tune in and check us out. And if you are one of these people we're dropping your name of, come on, dude. You know, we wanna milk your famousness for a little bit.
I'm not going to say what I was thinking. Here's to more episodes.
Absolutely. Keep your phasers dry and don't get your tribbles wet. that one.
Dog barkings.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Adam. And good night, right. Seattle.
Good night, Seattle. Frasier.
Yes, I've been watching reruns. I don't know. We'll come up with a. That's what we should do. Just randomly use a catchphrase from some other show that has nothing to do with Star Trek.
There we go. Okay. All right.
That'll be our gimmick, you know? Good night and may the force be with you.
Oh, man. They would kill us for that. Let's do it.
Yeah. Good night and keep flying and stay shiny.